Do turn to Matthew chapter 6. It is where we have an account of the Lord's Prayer. It is a prayer that we probably think we know so well that sometimes we don't even need to have the words of it in front of us. So Matthew chapter 6, if you're visiting this morning, you'll know that we're following a series in the Lord's Prayer. And we reached this morning kind of sort of midway point, really. And the question we've been asking over these Sunday mornings is, what does it mean to pray more like Jesus? Very practical series, as we've been seeing, not just what it means to pray like Jesus, but also what it means to live like Jesus. Now, I was thinking about the phrase we're going to be looking at this morning, so I sort of took myself down to one of our local supermarkets during the week, and I stood in the bread aisle. Now, you probably can't see these photographs very well, it's a bit bright in here this morning, but you can visualize this in your own mind. Go to your local supermarket, stand in the bread aisle, and then think to yourself, what does it mean when Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread? When we are surrounded by hundreds of varieties of bread, sometimes it's freshly baked, sometimes it's packaged, you can get it long life bread, you can get short life bread, you can get just about every kind of bread that you think about. I don't know what short life bread is, I don't quite know where that came from really, but you know what I mean. But we are completely spoiled for choice. That's the point that I want to make this morning when it comes to bread. And perhaps at first take this morning, we come to look at this phrase of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. This is a prayer which somehow seems sort of out of step with where we're at today. It seems, well, how do you make sense of it when we are surrounded by so much bread? What is it that Jesus wants to teach us from this little phrase, in a society where we're surrounded by more food than we can possibly consume, where for the majority of us, it's not where our next meal comes from, but how do we stop ourselves from eating the meal after that? At first glance, this little phrase that we're going to look at this morning seems a little inappropriate and out of place in today's society. But you will discover, as I have discovered during the course of this week, there's nothing irrelevant about what Jesus teaches us. And you always find that when you come to the Bible. It has something specific to say to us right into today's society and right into today. Lord's Prayer, as we've seen on Sunday mornings, again, you mightn't be able to see this very clearly, but you can see it in the Bible in front of you, falls into two distinct halves. The first half, as we've been looking at over the last few weeks, is all about the character of God. It's about His will, His purposes, His kingdom, His plans being done. This morning we come to the second part of that prayer, the section which deals with our deepest physical, psychological and spiritual needs. Here we're going to pray what it means to pray like Jesus does, to learn to pray the kind of things that God wants for us. And that's the distinction that we're going to be looking at this morning. Not what we want, but what God wants us to pray for ourselves and for others. As we move into the second half of this prayer, you'll see the language has changed. If you just look at Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, you'll see it's all about you and yours. And as the prayer progresses into the second half, we suddenly realize that we're praying for us and for ours. A prayer for bread, which at its basis level is perhaps the most simple and profound request that you can ask God for. Before we come to look at this phrase in more detail this morning, two definitions probably worth pulling out of this before we get any further. Firstly, the meaning behind this word which Jesus uses for bread. At its very heart, it simply means what it says here. Normal, everyday bread. But bread in the Bible is more than just literal bread, as we've been reading a few minutes ago. It also stands as a symbol for all of our material needs and for all of our spiritual needs as well. Bread in the passage that we're looking at this morning includes things like things that nourish our bodies and meet our needs. But it also conveys the idea of growing in our relationship with God, where Jesus describes himself as the bread of life, where we feed on his word and we discover more about what it means to be a follower or a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the second word that we need to think about is this little word, daily. It's a curious word, as I discovered this week. It's a word which carries some interesting ideas. It only appears twice in the New Testament, surprisingly, but carries with it the idea of asking for something in the present and also for something in the future. It means praying for this very day or for the day that is yet to come. And as we shall see a little bit later on, the future aspect of this prayer is really exciting. So what does it mean to pray as Jesus prayed? And as he gave us this little phrase, this model, this shape for praying, what does it look like? Well, let me suggest four things to you this morning. Firstly, I want to suggest that praying like this encourages us to be grateful to God. This prayer request reminds us that everything that we have comes to us as a gift from God. That's why this whole prayer begins in the way that Jesus does, by reorientating our thinking. Look again at verses 9 and 10 about the character of God, who he is, how great he is, how great his name is, how great his kingdom is, about his plans and his purposes. It resets our perspective, if you like, before we come to pray for this phrase, daily bread. Takes us back to Psalms like this one on the screen, Psalm 104, verses 14 and 15. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their heart. It anchors us back to the provider. Psalms like Psalm 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We come to this request for daily provision in the context of the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Otherwise, we're in danger of thinking that it's all about me, that it's all about my ability to provide for myself. One of the great dangers of living in suburbia is that it disconnects us from the land. We don't often see what's going on in the fields around us, unless you've been away perhaps this week and you get a glimpse of it or you go for a walk, but day to day we don't see much of it. One of the things that I really enjoyed over the last year, although it's sort of frustrating travelling backwards and forwards, is that when I go back to Ireland, I'm living in the heart of the country. It's connected me back to the land. I've watched the farmers at work. You watch them preparing their land. You see how dependent they are for rain to come and for the temperatures to be just right to make things grow. You literally watch the harvest. And praying for our daily bread encourages us to stop and to recognize that it is God who is ultimately responsible for meeting our needs. It's designed to stop us heading into the shops this week, buying the things that we need, and neglecting our Heavenly Father, for whom all things ultimately come. Praying like this teaches us that we need to remain connected to a Heavenly Father who provides for our needs. Someone has said an analogy that just about works, because checkbooks are pretty much on the way out now, aren't they? They say, when you come to God for a new blessing, make sure you bring a receipt for the previous one. We urge God to write new checks for us, but rarely flick through the check stubs. If we did, we would find our name attached to innumerable gifts, innumerable benefits, protection, and provisions. Love that quotation. Praying in the way that Jesus wants us to pray, praying for our daily bread, encourages us to be grateful to God. But the second thing I want you to notice is this, that it also encourages us to be content with God. This prayer, as Richard Cokin writes in his book on the Lord's Prayer, is for our need and not for our greed. It is a prayer for the basic necessities of life. I like what he says in his book. He says, this is a prayer for bread, not for cake. You see the point that he's making? By teaching us to pray for our basic needs rather than the luxuries that we might desire, Jesus is teaching us to be content with a modest standard of living. Came across a story this week that made me smile, maybe because it reflects human nature so accurately. It's kind of set in the era of Downton Abbey, which I know some of you have probably watched. The owner of the house, passing through the kitchens on one occasion, overheard his cook in a very distressed state saying, if only I had £5, I could get by. Because the landowner appreciated her work so much, he entered the room and he gave the astonished woman £5 out of his pocket. Pretending to leave the area, he stayed within earshot so he could hear her reaction. And this is what he heard. If only I'd known he was around, I would have said £50. You get the point, don't you? Contentment is something that does not come easily to any of us. When you discover it, it's hard to hold on to it. Contentment comes as we learn to recognize that what we have is more valuable than what we do not have. That's worth repeating, isn't it? Contentment comes when you discover that what you have is more valuable than what you do not have. There's a lovely verse in Proverbs that strikes a perfect balance when it comes to contentment. It's a great prayer, actually. Proverbs 30, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Perfect balance. Here's what it means to pray like Jesus. Praying for our daily bread, praying for our daily needs, because praying like Jesus does encourages us to be content with God. Grateful to God, content with God, dependent on God. Here's the third point this morning. Praying for daily bread carries with it this idea of believing that God will provide what you need on a day-by-day basis. Many people who heard Jesus teaching on that day would immediately have connected this with a reference that was in the passage which Duncan read for us before I spoke this morning. Back in Exodus chapter 16, where Jesus provides miraculous food for his people in the wilderness. The miraculous bread-like food called manna, along with some very specific instructions. And this is what God said to his people. He said, go out and get as much as you need for yourself and your family, but don't get more than you need. And for year after year, God provided for his people on a day-by-day basis. And through this Old Testament story, and what Jesus is teaching us here in Matthew chapter 6, we need to learn to live a day at a time. That's not saying we shouldn't be prudent with what God has given to us or make plans for the future, but this is a prayer for daily bread, not for weekly bread or monthly bread or yearly bread. The emphasis is on asking God to provide for us one day at a time. It's a simple prayer of trust in God. It's a deep prayer of dependence on God. Here's what it means to pray like Jesus, so that we learn not to trust on our own resources, but on God. And in these times of economic downturn, if they can teach us anything, then they show us just how easily our own resources can simply disappear, sometimes literally overnight. Praying in the way that Jesus prays here teaches us to be dependent on God. Grateful, content, dependent, and fourthly, generous like God. Have a take a look at this prayer again and you'll see that verse 11 suddenly changes, isn't it? Give us today our daily bread. Jesus isn't teaching you to pray this just for yourself. This is a prayer that we pray for others as well. Here's a prayer which encourages us to be generous like God, open-hearted people. It's a reminder that we all eat from the same table. Once again, this prayer takes us away from ourselves. It places the focus on other people. We've been told, haven't we, that there is sufficient food in our world to provide enough food for everybody if it was more equally shared. That's what the Tear Fund IF campaign is all about, isn't it? Lobbying the G8 meeting, which takes place in a few days' time. It's encouraging to hear that David Cameron has promised to raise this as a major issue at next month's talks. And when we pray for our daily bread, we are praying that when it comes to providing for others, it begins with you and me. There's a very challenging passage in 1 Timothy, which I'm going to put on the screen in just a moment, which talks about the rich. Perhaps we need to redefine that word, rich, in Western society today. It's been worked out that 5% of us in the Western world consume 80% of the world's resources. Here's what Paul writes to Timothy, if you can read these words. If not, it's in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 to 19. Command those who are rich, and that includes us, in this present world, not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. See how relevant the Bible is? But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good and be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. This part of the Lord's Prayer is significantly plural. Where does a prayer like this begin for you and me? Begins in your family. It's praying that God will give you bread to share with your family and with your wider families. The Bible teaches us not to neglect our wider families when it comes to providing for their needs. It's a prayer we pray for bread to share with our church family, to give out of the resources which God has given to us so that people may be fed physically and spiritually. We have a fellowship fund here. I don't know if you know this or not. A part of your giving goes to our fellowship fund to ensure that there are people within our church family who are in particular practical and physical needs. Those needs are met. And I want to thank you this morning for your giving in that regard. Because I get a glimpse as pastor of how some of those situations are met and the difference it makes in the lives of people in this church family. We're to pray for bread to share with our church family, with our families. And for bread to share with our community, organizations such as Food Bank, literally putting the food on tables of those who are without, within our own local community. We are to pray for bread to share with the poor. It's easy, isn't it, to be so overwhelmed with the need of the poor within our world that we think, well, where could I possibly start? Start by embracing the IF campaign. Make sure you've signed that petition if you haven't already done it, to lobby those in significant power who can make a real difference in how this part of the Lord's Prayer is answered. So what does it mean for us to pray for daily bread? It means, doesn't it, if you've been following me this morning, that we will become grateful to God. We'll recognize that everything that we have ultimately comes to us as a gift from God. It reminds us to be content with God. It reminds us to be dependent, praying for daily bread. It reminds us to be generous-hearted like God. There are some of the things that it means to pray this prayer. But what does it mean to live it out? As you and I head out into a new week as disciples of Jesus Christ, which many of you are here this morning, committed to following Jesus, how does a little prayer for daily bread affect us and challenge us as we move out into a new week? I want to make three very practical suggestions. But overarching these suggestions is the truth that we need to learn to pray for what God wants for us rather than what we want. Here are some suggestions. Firstly, praying what God wants for us prevents us from thinking that we can provide for ourselves. It keeps us connected to God who provides. It's back to that verse which we looked at in Proverbs, isn't it? Give me the poverty nor riches, give me my daily bread, otherwise I may have too much. And what happens if you have too much? The danger is that we think we can provide for ourselves and we become disconnected from our Father in heaven. Praying for what God wants for us prevents us from thinking that we can provide for ourselves. It's possible, you know, for us to have our food shelves stocked with food and to be spiritually poor. And praying this little part of the Lord's Prayer is designed to reconnect us with God, to remind us that everything that we have, excuse me, comes to us as a gift from God. That the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And all that we have has been given to us in trust as a gift from God. If we neglect to pray for our daily needs in this way, in the way that Jesus shows us here, we begin to take the blessings of life for granted. Gradually we begin to think that we can provide for ourselves, that we are capable of meeting our own needs. That's why Jesus starts with the character of God by reminding us of who he is and his name and his purposes and his kingdom and his plans. Let's ensure that we're not in danger of having bread to eat, but no connection with our Heavenly Father who's in heaven. The whole focus of the Lord's Prayer is that God's needs come first in everything for the disciples of Jesus. So praying for what God wants prevents us from thinking that we can provide for ourselves. It's a kind of stop check. But secondly, as we've already seen this morning, and very practically, praying for what God wants challenges us to pray and to act that others will be fed also. We've touched on this already. I want to apply it a little bit more this morning. This is a corporate prayer, a prayer that we are encouraged to pray together with other people in mind. Most of us will probably have all that we want to eat for today, and probably for tomorrow and the day after that. And yet our world is filled with people who do not have enough to eat today. We cannot pray this prayer as if we are the only people in the world. The Bible teaches that what you and I have been given has been given to us in trust from God. We have a responsibility to ensure that we are involved in ensuring that other people are fed, that other people in our world receive their portion of daily bread. Did you hear in the news this week that now they reckon 500,000 people in the UK have resorted to using a local food bank? That number has trebled in the last 12 months. That is the country in which you and I are living in. We have people around us who do not know where to go for their next meal. Cuts in benefits, cuts in wages, loss of jobs, sickness, illness, all kinds of things can literally strip our dignity away completely. The media this week talked about a dramatic rise in the nation's hidden poor. Families who are forced to ask for help in order to feed themselves. In our country, we cannot pray this prayer with integrity as if we are the only people in the world. We need to take action to ensure that we are playing our part. According to Jesus, we need to adopt modest standards of living so that we can give out of the generosity which God has given to us, so that we can ensure that we are part of the answer to this prayer as we pray for those who do not have enough to eat. Adding our voices to the IF campaign this weekend, supporting our local food bank, ensuring that people in our wider families are cared for, ensuring that people in our church family are looked after practically as well as spiritually. Praying for what God wants for us challenges us to pray and to act so that other people are fed. And finally, I want you to notice this morning, and here's a very sort of exciting dimension to this prayer. Praying for what God wants for you, praying for your daily bread in this way, literally gives you a taste of the future. Here's what it means to be kingdom people. I hinted at the very start that there's a future aspect to this prayer, that this little phrase means pray not just for this very day, but for the day which is yet to come, for the day that is about to come. Jesus has just been teaching you this prayer. If you've got Matthew 6 open in front of you, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praying for our daily bread can mean give us here and now the bread of life which is promised for the great tomorrow. You glimpse what Jesus is hinting at here. Matthew, writing in his gospel, saw this prayer partially answered in the feeding of the 5,000, which you can read about in all of the Gospels. And then more fully in the Lord's Supper, as Jesus said, "This is my body, this is God's bread, this is the bread of life, the bread of tomorrow, which is Jesus Christ himself." And at the heart of this prayer for daily bread lies a much wider and deeper agenda. I said a few weeks ago that praying like this is like leaning forward towards the future. It looks forward to a day when everyone will have more than enough to eat. It looks forward to a day when we begin to enjoy God's recreated and renewed earth as we place our faith in the one who describes himself as the bread of life. It leans forward. It gives us a taste of the future. And I want to end this morning with a glimpse of the great banquet feast which the Bible describes to use the coming of the kingdom of God. It's described in words that we can relate to, because we all know about food and drink. So in Isaiah chapter 25, verses 6 to 9, if you've got a Bible, do turn to it this morning. So we just get a glimpse of how this prayer leans towards the future. Find out on page 780 if you're not familiar with the layout of a Bible. But here we have, in wonderful picture language, in words that we can relate to, a glimpse of how one day this prayer for daily bread will be fully answered in the kingdom of God. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 25, verse 6, "On this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich foods for all peoples." That's pretty comprehensive, isn't it? "A banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples and the sheet that covers all nations, and he will swallow up death forever. And the sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and he will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken." And in that day, they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him. He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and let us be glad in his salvation." This picture language was announcing the arrival of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' day, people literally began to get a taste of the kingdom of God. That God was acting to rescue his people, to bring in the kingdom of God. This prayer leans forward to God's recreated earth. And this passage that we've read has a very earthy feel to it, doesn't it? So what does it mean to pray in the way that Jesus wants us to pray? Well, there are some practical actions that you've been looking at this morning. What does it mean to live this prayer out? It means if we pray like this, it will prevent us from becoming disconnected from God. It will stop us from depending on our own resources, of thinking we're all right, we can just provide for ourselves and we live for ourselves. We've discovered, secondly, that it challenges us to pray for other people to be fed. The corporate nature of this prayer. Cannot pray it on our own. We've discovered, thirdly, that it literally gives us a little glimpse, a little taste of the future. I hope you capture that a little bit if we look at that passage in Isaiah. The day when God's kingdom will fully come and we will be completely grateful. When we will be completely content. When we will be completely dependent on our Father God. And when our hearts will completely reflect the generosity of our Father who's in heaven. Here is what it means to pray, this little phrase, "Give us today our daily bread." I'm going to take a few moments to just stop and pause and reflect. I want you to ask yourself a question this morning as we do that. Is there one thing that you can do in response to what God has been teaching us this morning? It's sometimes easy to be overwhelmed. We cover a lot of ground. So some quiet moments when you can say, "Holy Spirit, will you show me this morning what you want me to do in response to what you've taught me from your word?" Let's ask ourselves that question this morning. Do I need to be more grateful? Do I need to be more content with what I've got? Do I need to start expressing my dependency on God more? Do I need to be more generous-hearted? Maybe there's some changes I need to make in my lifestyle, which ensures that others around me receive more. Let's just ask God to teach us by his Spirit, just to apply his word to our lives. Let's just be quiet for a few moments as we pray. Lord, we pray that this little part of the Lord's Prayer would not just simply be something that we pray, but it would be something that we live. And Lord, as we've asked you by your Spirit to point out something to us this morning that we can do in response to your word, help us not to be people who just hear, but people who do. And so by the power of your Spirit, help us to put into action what it is you're teaching us this morning from your word, so that we will become a little bit more like Jesus, grateful, content, dependent, generous-hearted people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.